And the Bible says, and straightway, immediately Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus goes to pray. Disciples are in the boat. I want you to make a mental note of the time. You see what time it was? The Bible says when the evening was come. It was around the evening. Turn over in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. So Jesus tells his disciples to go to their side. Mark chapter 6, around verse number 48. So here you have Jesus in the mountain praying. The disciples are in the boat around evening. In Mark chapter 6, around verse number 48, the Bible says, And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Why were they toiling and rowing? The Bible says that the wind was contrary against them. The waves were tossing the boat back and forth in the sea. And the Bible says that they were where? They were now in the midst of the sea. They were in the middle of the sea at this point. So, you know, when they're in the middle of the sea, guess what? They can't turn back. They must go forward. They're in the middle of the sea now. Jesus sees them toiling. He sees them struggling against the waves that were tossing this little ship back and forth. They can't turn around. Church, don't you know that they are in a storm at this time? They are in the storm. Where's Jesus? Jesus is praying. Jesus is not with them yet. Okay? But church, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we are troubled on every side, yet not perplexed. Sometimes trouble can hit us from every side, church. Sometimes trouble can... The Bible says that the wind, the sea, and the waves. In your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 24, in Matthew chapter 7, around verse number 24, you remember the story about the man who founded his house upon a rock? So when the Bible says first that the rain descended, and then the floods came, and then the winds blew. Sometimes when the storms come in life, they come from all these different angles. You know, if it's not the job, then it's the home. If it's not the home, then it's the car. If it's not the car, then it's the kids. If it's not the kids, then it's the relatives. If it's not the relatives, oh, is anybody here with me tonight? Y'all haven't been through them storms, have you? Somebody said, if it's not one thing, then it's another. Every which way you turn, sometimes there seems to be a problem. Now, I want you to follow me here. This is very crucial. Like I said, I'm going to be short tonight. In Mark chapter 6, and when I first saw this, it's completely blew my mind. Here it is in verse number 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. They started out in the boat around what time? Evening time. Now let me tell you something. The Jews, what they did was they divided the night up into four parts called watches. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., first watch. From 9 p.m. to 12 p.m., second watch. From 9 p.m. to 12 a.m., second watch. From 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., third watch. From 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., fourth watch. The Bible says that he saw them doing what? Struggling with the rowing because the wind was contrary against them. Look at the end of that verse. The Bible says that he would have passed them by. Is that your Bibles? What? He would have passed them by. What are you talking about, Willis? Why would Jesus have passed them by if he saw them struggling for now over 7 hours? Let me help you out here. Sometimes a little struggle is good. Without struggle, there cannot be growth. Don't you think that Jesus may have wanted to see how the disciples were going to handle the storm? You know, sometimes, those that have kids, don't you just want to jump in all the time and help them in the storm? But sometimes you got to let them work it out. Amen? You got to let them work it out. So Jesus, he sees them struggling. He says he would have passed them by. You know, see, we want to give our kids everything. And, you know, Brother Reed, that's why don't buy, when your teenagers are out in the age of driving, don't buy them a 2008 nothing. What they need is, they need a clunker, Brother Reed. Brother Reed, they need one of those cars where they got to carry a toolkit in the back when they drive. You know, because sometimes struggle is good. You know, it'll help them to appreciate some things. But see, you know, we want to make it so easy. But without struggle, there cannot be any growth. You know, that's the problem with this world. That's why we have all these Paris Hiltons. You know, because they're given everything. I was watching a TV program, and you know, good TV shows are few and far between today. But they have this show called Sweet 16 on MTV, and you know, they show these children where they shower with these lavish birthday parties. And there was one young girl, and her dad was taking her out to buy a car, and you know, they were looking at the 2008 CLKs, Mercedes-Benz. She said, I don't want one of those. I want a Range Rover. So he said, well, this is my princess. You know, whatever she wants, she can have. And they took out the Range Rover, and she said, I like this. And then she found out that it was used. I don't want this. But see, you know, that's the spirit of the youth today. You know, they want everything given to them without any work, without any blood, sweat, and tears. But see, in Hebrews 12, verse number 5, the Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receives. You remember the story in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son? When he said, give me my living, and he went out to live. You know, when he was out there struggling, when he was out there and the stuff, the pigs, he started to look good, he started to appreciate the things that his father had done for him. He started to appreciate the life that he had in his father's house. And let me tell you something, this doesn't just apply to young folks, this applies to adults as well. You know, you learn to appreciate a good meal when you've been living off beans and rice for a little while. You learn to become thankful for having a place of employment when you've been out of a job for a little while. You learn to appreciate your health when you've been laid in the hospital for a little bit of time. Amen. Has anybody ever been there before? You ever notice how even when the money sometimes get tight, how you become a financial wizard? You know, everything has got to be planned now. You know, you don't even make a trip out your house and without weighing the expenses or the gas. You know, that's the best time to learn about finances, when you don't have none. Amen. Look back to the text, verse number 49. So Jesus would have passed them by. Now, one thing that you need to remember, Jesus had his eye on them the whole time. Jesus can see him when he was praying. One point I want to make. You need to, when you're in the midst of the storm, you need to recognize the presence of God. You need to recognize the presence of God. And verse number 49 says, "But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out." They thought it was a ghost. They did not realize that it was Jesus. When we go through storms, we've got to recognize that God is even in the midst of our storms. How are we able to recognize God in our storms? I submit to you, it comes from having a relationship with him before the storm. At this time, this is 3 a.m. This is the darkest part of the night. The wind is contrary. The sea is raging. But see, in John chapter 10, Jesus says that, "I know my sheep, and they know my voice." And when you have a relationship with God before the storm, you will recognize the presence of God in the midst of your storm. Amen? Amen. Verse number 49, "But when they saw him walking upon the sea." Watch this. "When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out." Sometimes when you're in the midst of the storm, you only focus on the storm and the wind that's raging. But if you focus on Jesus, what's Jesus doing here? The Bible says that when they saw him walking upon the sea. Did you get it? What's their problem? Their problem is the water. What's Jesus doing? He's walking on their problem. You see that? You see that? He's walking on their problem. What they thought was a problem. Here they are being tossed to and fro in the sea. Jesus walking calm, coolly, and collectively. Jesus is somebody else. Amen. Woo! In Matthew chapter 8, they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Man, he's able to walk on our problems. We must be able to recognize the voice of God, the presence of God in the crux of our crisis. We need to be able to see. That's the problem. When we're in the storm, we're not looking for Christ. We need to be looking for him even through trials and through tribulations. Now, last point I want to bring out. Even in the storm, there's opportunity. Even in a storm, there is opportunity. Back to Matthew chapter 14. Straightway, in verse number 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. No need to worry, I've got it all under control. And Peter, surprise, surprise, bold, brash Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Many times when we see this episode, we want to focus on the negative part. But don't you know that Peter experienced something at this time that none of the other disciples experienced? What was it? Peter said, bid me to come unto thee on the water. First of all, we need to, in our storm, we need to determine between faith and foolishness. Did Peter just jump into the water? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on to you. Y'all know, anybody know how children do when you tell them, no, you can't have no more candy? Next thing you know, they got their hand in a dish. What you doing? Oh, I was bringing this for you. So they fellowship. So Peter figures, listen, if the Lord tells me to do it, then I know I'll be able to do it. So he said to him, what? He said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on water to go to Jesus. See, Peter might have said, I'm good all by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. Y'all didn't hear me on that one. Y'all didn't hear me. Peter knew with Jesus by his side, all things were possible. The Bible says that he walked on water. Now, we know what was his downfall. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. That's a lesson for us, church. In the midst of our storms, keep your eyes focused on Christ. Church, God uses storms in our life for many reasons. God uses storms to direct us. Sometimes God must light a fire under us to get us moving. Storms often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change. Proverbs 20, verse number 30 says, blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. God sometimes uses storms in our life to inspect us. People are like tea bags. If you want to see what they're made of, sometimes you got to drop them in some hot water. God also uses storms to correct us. You know, some lessons that we learn are only through pain and through failure. But we got to keep on moving through the storm. Amen. In Psalms 119 and verse number 71, the Bible says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God also uses storms to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed by something more serious. A man was fired for refusing to do something unethical that his boss had asked him to do. His unemployment was a problem, but it saved him from being convicted and sent to prison a year later. But church, don't you know that God also uses storms to perfect us? Storms, when they are responded to correctly, they build character. God is far more interested in our character than our comfort. We can rejoice, as James says, when we run into storms. They help us to learn to be patient, and patience develops strength and character in us. Romans chapter 5 says, "But not only so, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." How to navigate the storms of life. As I close, many people still ask the question, well, if God is so loving and so kind, then why does he allow problems and difficulties and trials and tribulations to come into our lives? Let me answer that by telling you a story. There was a group of women who met for a weekday Bible study. And at this point, they came across text in Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 3, that where it says that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And they were troubled at this passage and wondered, how did this verse apply to the context and the character of God? So one of the women decided that she was going to research the silver refinery process and get back with the group. So she contacted a silversmith and set up an appointment. And she just explained that she wanted to learn more about the silver refining process. So while she was at the appointment, the silversmith explained, you see, that the silver is held in the middle of the fire, where it's the hottest, so that it may burn away all the impurities. And the woman thought about the verse that says, he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. And she asked the question, do you have to sit there the whole time while the silver is being refined? He said, oh, yes. And not only do I have to sit here the whole time, I have to keep my eye on the silver the entire time whilst in the fire. Yeah. If it stays in the fire just one moment too long, it could be destroyed. The woman said, well, how do you know when the refining process is fully complete? He smiled and said, that's easy. That's when I see my image in it. That's what God wants to do with us, church. Faint not when he chastens us, because he just wants to see his image in us. If you're not a Christian, you will never be able to navigate the storms of life successfully without realizing the one who is in control of the sea and the waves, the one who controls all the storms of life. But it requires that you become obedient to him. If you are a Christian and you've been wondering why you've been facing storms in your life, because God wants to make you better. God wants to continue to prune you. So don't think of it as a punishment, but he wants to continue to make us better each and every day. So if we continue to be successful in our trials, not by focusing on the trial itself, but focusing on the master of the trials, Jesus, then we'll be successful. Wherever you are, whoever you are, if it's subject to them.